sometimes written to the church. Remember way back when we did those commandments study, came up with the 150 commandments. There were only four that had to do with like the church commands. One of them was not forsake the assembling, right? Be faithful to church. The other three are included here. How to treat the pastor properly. So very interesting. And I'm not, you know, preaching it so that you'll treat me better, but I was reading a post today on Facebook that a pastor put, pastor to pastors, and he put, the pastor's not an ambulance to always be on call when there's a disaster. He also can be on call for lunch or dinner. So that was really good. 1 Timothy chapter 5, down to verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Interesting passage. Amen. So how to treat the church elder. That'll be our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight. And Lord, we just thank you that your book is so practical and giving the church these instructions. So I pray that, Lord, you would just guide us as we look into the scriptures together and that we would have open hearts to it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we've already done the study on the word elder. Remember presbyteros, where we get the word Presbyterian, which is the word that primarily is talking about a board of elders. And yes, the Presbyterians have a board of elders at the top of their chain, if you will. But, you know, Bible believers use a board of elders too. When do they use a board of elders? Well, they use a board of elders, if you look at chapter 4, verse 14, when it comes time to ordain a pastor, who gets involved in that ordination but other elders, right? This is 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. That is a board of elders, a presbytery. And so that is what we practice, even as Bible-believing churches, is when it's time to ordain someone. That's not just about training, their education, but it means that they have also got some experience. So when it comes time for that ordination, who is involved but elders? Other elders come and they question the person, and then they agree to sign an ordination certificate saying, we believe that this man is ready to be an elder, to be a pastor. And we talked about the word itself and how it ties in with the other words for the pastor. But in Acts 14:23, when Paul was sending his helpers out, if you'll turn there quickly, Acts 14, verse 23, part of what he did when he would go back and visit the churches or start a church. And notice it says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church. So there's that word ordained. So Paul made sure that each church eventually had an elder or a pastor to run the ministry, which only makes sense. They need pastors. And then Titus chapter 1, verse 5, quickly. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. One of Titus's instructions. He says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Crete was not a city, it was an island. So Titus, one of his jobs was to ordain some elders on Crete in various cities. So the elder, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, teaches us that an elder is called of God to be an elder. We've talked about this, that it's one of the gifts. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12 says it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And here Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, and look what he says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Well, the Holy Ghost is God. And so Paul is saying it's the Holy Ghost, it's God himself that has chosen you men to be overseers of the church. And for an elder that's called of God, well, sometimes that's all that's going to keep him going, is knowing that God called him to be an elder. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. So back to our passage. Let the elders, we talked about the word enough, that rule well. People don't like that word rule, but it's in God's word. Amen. And that's where we get the, remember when Peter was talking to the elders in 1 Peter 5 and he says, take the oversight thereof. An overseer was one of the words. We just read that in Acts 20, 28. So he is to rule. And that brings us to part of the how to treat an elder is the Bible talks about obeying, believe it or not. And that's in Hebrews 13, if you want to turn there quickly. Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17. As Paul is, as the writer of Hebrews, sorry, sometimes I slip up and say it's Paul. But Hebrews 13, 7, look what it says. Remember them which have the rule over you. Well, who's that? Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now look it down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we're talking tonight how to treat the elder. There's one way. We're supposed to obey our pastor. I haven't always been a pastor, and I've had pastors. And yeah, that's something that God commands in his word. Amen. So to obey is one thing, but notice it says that rule well, verse 17 of our passage, 1 Timothy 5, be counted worthy of double honor. So one of the things is to obey, but another thing is to treat well, spoil, whatever you want, word you want to use for double honor, however you want to take that. But let's look at some other verses on it. Galatians 6:6. Take them to dinner every Sunday. I mean, you know, however you want to take it. However God leads. Amen. But notice Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What do you think that word communicate means? Do you think it means have a conversation? No, that's not what it means. Communicate means be a blessing to. In the physical sense. Communicate unto him. That's how the word is used in that passage. So those that are taught are to communicate to those that teach. And then also 1 Thessalonians 5:12, if you want to turn there quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So not only, as we see here, when we're talking about how to treat the church elder, number one, obey. Number two, count him worthy of double honor. That's in the scriptures. Amen. Paul goes on to say, down in our passage, verse 18, the scriptures say it, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. There are some cult groups along the way that say, oh, it's wrong for a pastor to receive a salary. But they don't get that from the Word of God, do they? Paul made it very clear, if you go to 1 Corinthians 9, that is God's plan. You know, if you liken it to the Old Testament temple, and there were priests, right? How did the priests live? What did they live on? Because they weren't allowed to go out and farm like everyone else. Or they weren't allowed to go out and have flocks. So how did they live? Well, they lived off the tithes. Both monetary and food-wise. You study it out. That's how it worked. Yeah, a lot of food was brought and a lot of it was sacrificed, but some of it was set aside for the priests to eat. So we get to the New Testament. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:5. He says, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" That's another name for Peter, by the way. "Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare any time in his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he altogether, for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you the spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple?" That's what I was just talking about. "And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now, Paul chose to be a tent maker. And we use that word today, don't we? Because he didn't want to be chargeable. He didn't want people to have an accusation against him. But he's making it clear here in the pastoral epistles that it's God's will. The pastor receives a salary from the church when they, of course, can afford it. So to obey, to count worthy of double honor. Lastly, verse 19, to protect his reputation. God didn't put this in here because pastors are sinless or because they're super special. He put it in here to protect his churches. Amen? Because he knew that when the devil chose to attack a church, who's he going to go after first? That's obvious. He's going to go after the pastor, isn't he? That's why he put this in here. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. We've all been there, even on our jobs. Who does everyone gossip about but the boss, the manager, right? There's really no good bosses out there. Everybody hates their boss. I mean, yeah, they say they have a good boss, but everybody gossips about the boss, don't they? It's just the way it works. And God says, no, we got to protect the church. And one of the ways of doing that is protecting God's man. So those three are the three commands to God's people relative to the church elder. Obey, double honor, and receive not an accusation, unless it's by two or three witnesses. And if they're a witness, then you know who they are. Amen? So, isn't that interesting that God made that so practical for God's people? I mean, I still honestly look at my first pastor as my pastor. I would still, if I rang him up today, I would call him my pastor. Sadly, he has ALS, so he can't talk on the phone anymore, but yeah. He fed me, and I grew under his ministry, and I still look at him as my pastor. And that's not been since 88. But how to treat the church elder. So now we just need to get hundreds of people to watch this on YouTube. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the clarity of your word. And Lord, how you knew in advance how you would run things and how you would want the church to run things. And also how you would protect your church. And we thank you for that. And we love you. And we pray all